Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time. We ask for your grace and blessing. Tonight, as we speak of the light of Christ, we ask that the light of Christ will inhabit each one who listens and that it might grow brighter and stronger within each one of us. In Jesus' name, come and bless this talk and bring to mind the things you want spoken about. All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about the light of Christ, and this is something that is pretty much misunderstood or overlooked by much of the church, in that when the Lord said, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light, he was not speaking of your whole body being full of knowledge. He was speaking of your whole body being filled with the radiant energy of Christ. So I want to help you learn how to connect with this radiant energy and how to have it be part of your body. And one of the things that's important about this, you are, as one of my little physicist friends told me, a unified field. You're a series of particles in motion with a cohesive field so that you look basically the same all the time. But if one looked at a deeper level, they would see you as a series of moving very rapidly atoms and molecules and electrons and all that. So what we're going to do is connect with our Lord Jesus and his light. And the Bible also says if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye be evil, then your whole body will be full of darkness. So we want to come into the life of Christ and the radiant power of Christ in a way that we can more easily connect with him. And if we become full of light and the vibration and movement of the tiny particles that make us, make up our body, soul, and spirit, our mind, will, and emotions, we will more easily connect with heaven. We will more easily be able to see heavenly things, supernatural things. A lot of people come up to me and say, Richard, I'd like to be able to see angels. And they say, how do you do that? And I give them this answer, which doesn't help them a lot right away, but it does give them something to think about, which is if you want to see angels, you have to be more like an angel. Well, it doesn't mean that you give out lots of tracts and become a Boy Scout leader. What it means is that you start to vibrate on that heavenly frequency, and so all of a sudden you'll be able to see when before you couldn't. Remember, the Bible says, you know, I was blind, but now I see. So I want you, and you know, it's interesting to me, but I haven't counted them. I'm sure someone out there will count them for me, but it seems like Jesus spent a lot of time healing blind people, and I think he has a real investment in people being able to see. And so tonight, if you will follow this, your own sight, we call it spiritual sight, but what it is regular sight quickened by the energy of God so that you see a greater number of things in a larger dimensional reality than you're used to. But it's still sight. It's not magic. It's not something separate. Okay, so I was very fortunate when I was young. I was in a Christian group that was very, very interested in the light, very much like some groups are interested in speaking in tongues, and some groups are interested in Bible study, and some groups are interested in acts of service, and all those things are good things. And actually, my group was interested in all those things. I don't think speaking in tongues, but all the rest we did a lot of. We did a lot of service, a lot of reading the Bible, and a lot of what we called working with the light. And tonight I'm going to give you a couple exercises to help you connect with this. And there are down the line some very powerful benefits, which we're going to talk about. All right. Number one, when your flesh is inhabited by the light, it will have a resiliency and a vibrancy in it that is uncommon. So your body will heal rapidly. If you are old, like some people I know, not like myself, you'll have an unusual level of vitality. You will have a bounce and a spring in your step that is not strictly to do with physical health. Your body will take the tiniest kindness and make it into health. I had a funny experience. I went and had my circulatory system looked at, and there's not one bit of plaque in my circulatory system, and I eat basically like I own a butcher shop and work in a barbecue stand. I think vegetables are green to warn you that they're not good to eat, and yet I don't have any plaque in my veins. So there's a certain way that my body will take the tiniest advantage. If I exercise, it's almost like, oh my goodness, let's grow a muscle today. So the effects of having Christ in you, the hope of glory, is very much pays off in the way of health. But it also pays off in the way of how much do you have influence over the world around you. Just like a broadcasting station. When I was a young kid, there was a guy called Wolfman Jack, and he lived in L.A. And some of you have seen that movie, American Graffiti, even if you're not particularly old enough to do that. And we would sit up in the mountains and huddle and drink cold cans of beer in the snow. It was really miserable. And turn on the radio station, and Wolfman Jack would be broadcasting, I think it was 50,000 volts of broadcasting energy from L.A. So we would hear him all the way up in Lake Tahoe, from hundreds of miles away, because he had so much broadcasting energy. Well, if you have the light, as you move through life, it's a force multiplier of your thoughts and feelings, which ideally are inhabited by the Lord Jesus, inspired by the Lord Jesus. So like if you walk into a building, everybody gets the benefit of your strong broadcasting station. And of course, all of us have times when we probably should turn it off, but largely, it's going to be a good thing, and it's going to be something that God can work through. So I'm going to show my good friend Nancy here today an exercise, and we're going to do it together. And if you will do this, your soul will slowly be transformed. And this is a work of a lifetime. I've been doing this for years and years and years, and I am different than I was, but still, I have a long way to go. All right. So Nancy, I want you to visualize those spinning little solar systems within you that are the atoms and molecules that make up your body. And I'm going to do that too, okay? So first we're just going to think about that. Okay, now we're going to ask those spinning atoms and molecules to spread themselves out, almost like people in a line do when they want to do calisthenics and putting their hand on the shoulder next to the person so there's room to do jumping jacks. Okay, spread them out, double the width apart. Your body will look the same, but the energy around you will be different. All right, now we're going to say Jesus. If it pleases you.
If it pleases you.
Release the light of Christ.
Release the light of Christ.
And permeate every cell.
And permeate every cell.
And every atom.
And every atom.
And every molecule.
And every molecule.
Of my mind, body, and soul.
Of my mind, body, and soul.
All right. Now I want you to see a pearly luminescence, a beautiful white light, powerfully merging into those individual solar systems and becoming part of them. So this is almost like a game of, I don't know, I'm dating myself so much, of Pac-Man, like this little man who goes around and eats up the darkness, you know. So all these guys are just going to come in and fill you up. And as you breathe in, just try to feel the light of Christ invading you. Let it especially dwell in your mind, almost like you're rolling it up through the top of your head. And the light has a tendency to bring healing to trauma and things that are recorded in our mind and soul that are not very helpful to us. So breathe it in. Lord Jesus, just come and touch each one of us on the head and just release your power. Let us get stronger and stronger in the light. in Jesus' name. All right, now I want to, Nancy, did you find that? How did you find that?
I could feel like a hot light around me. Mm-hmm. And whenever we were expanding the molecules to make them larger, I literally could feel my atmosphere kind of glowing and growing, you know, and getting bigger. I did have one question.
Sure.
I know the scripture talks a lot about, especially in Ephesians, I don't know, some ridiculous amount of times, like 30 times it says, we are in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And so when we are wanting to be more powerfully affected by the light of Christ, is there a way that that light is coming through Christ in us? It's already there. It's like he's getting more access to us. Like, where is the light coming from? It's coming from Christ, but Christ is already in us if we're a Christian.
Well, as you invite it in, you know, the Lord, God says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. So as you have a quiet time and as you reach out, just like a little child, you know, where he says, we'll say to him, Lord, will you, you know, if a child asks a man for bread, will he give him a stone?
Right.
You know, or will he give him a scorpion? No, no. So when we ask for the light of Christ and we open ourselves to it, he shares that part of himself with us. And I'm not saying this is all there is to the Lord. He's a beautiful, you know, he's not just a mindless energy. And this energy actually isn't mindless, but it is part of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very physical, palpable part of our relationship with the loving, magnificent, beautiful Lord that we get to know on so many different levels. But this will allow us to be in Christ in probably a lot more palpable sense. You know, when you marry someone, a lot of times people's faces will change and they'll look like the person they married. That, because that person has penetrated your soul. I mean, they're in you, not just physically, they're in you emotionally. They're in you in a way that is very telling. The same with Christ. And of course, all of you have seen people's face that are radiating the kindness and the love of Christ. Sure, you've seen that, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah, we've both seen it. We've seen it in ourselves. And of course, we've seen the absence of it in ourselves at times. But mm-hmm. when the Lord shows up in a person's face, you can see it. You know, sometimes they say that person was Jesus to you. That person was Jesus to you that day. I'm not confused. I know the third part of the Trinity didn't come down. But in that moment, the Lord reached mm-hmm. out through that person and touched you.
Yeah.
So this is going to help us live in that, in God, in whom we live and move and have our being. So let's do a couple more things. Now, there's a lot to this light that can be done. It becomes a protective armament, which in this day and age is not a bad thing to have. I don't know if there's been a day and age when it wasn't good to have protective armament, but we're going to pretend there was, but it's not now, right?
Right.
We still need it. All right. We can, and then earlier in this series, we talked to you about the atmosphere and the electrical field around you that everyone generates, really, whether they like it or not. And you can learn to expand and contract that and make rules about who you let in and who you let out. But when you have the light, well, now you have some more energy to deal with, don't you? So now your little electrical fence just got bumped up from, you know, 120 up to, you know, 5,000 volts. In the group that I was in, we would literally at times go into riots with our atmosphere out and not be touched. I mean, these weren't nice riots either.
Mm-hmm.
These were, and of course, occasionally, if some of us got thumped because we didn't do a very good job, but mostly not. I never did. As you walk through life and you generate this power around you, you're going to notice a couple things happening. One is people will be more cooperative without you manipulating them or trying to make them cooperative. You'll get more chances to present Christ. It'll be easier for you to penetrate the veil of flesh and soul that they carry and see what is beautiful about them. It's almost like taking off sunglasses, and all of a sudden, you look at this person who's a perfectly ordinary person, and you go, oh, look at them. Aren't they beautiful? And the fact is, if you look deep enough in every human being, God has made something beautiful there.
You're seeing them in God's light.
Yeah, that's right. And it's such a pleasure. Now, I can't do that. I'm really not that much of a sweetie Petey that I'm going to walk around seeing people, oh, you're so beautiful. But it happens to me, which is a pleasure. you know, I think it's funnier actually when it happens to someone like me instead of someone who leans more in that direction. Mm-hmm. Well, Heidi Baker loves everybody. I don't. But but because of Christ, there's times when I really do spontaneously love people, which I think is the only way you can love anything, is that spontaneity as it flows out of you. Because he is loving, because he is big, because he is magnificent, not because we're nice. If we have to depend on our niceness, things are going to be a little thin. So, all right, so I want you to see a circle of light around you, okay? Nancy and I are going to do this together. And I want you to make, let me see, what would be a reasonable thing? 15-foot circle of light. Okay, I'm going to make a bigger one just because I've had more practice. It's like a hamster ball. That's your hamster ball. See it charged with the radiant energy. Jesus, if it pleases you, surround us with the light of Christ and energize everything, all the parts of us that are in that circle, but let that be a ball of safety around us, a ball of your energy and power, and the things that happen within that ball are things that happen in heaven, not things that happen anyplace else. It's sort of like as on in earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want. Okay? So we accept the authority of God coming through our atmosphere. All right. We make that ball. And I challenge you to do this and go walk through a mall. I think there's one thing that I admire about what I've heard about some of the people do in Bill Johnson's group is they go out looking, what they call treasure hunting, looking for people to heal. And they run around and accost people in the mall and asking if they can pray for them for healing. And amazingly enough, because they actually try to heal people, they occasionally get somebody and they heal them, and sometimes very often. I admire that. Why don't you go out and try this and see if the way that, a couple things, see if the way people treat you changes and see if what happens to you is different. I find the level of cooperation from people is quite unusual. And I find the level of fun with people from many different walks of life. Like one time I was at a barbecue place and there's a bunch of guys in there all covered with asphalt and they've been laying asphalt all day. And we couldn't have been too much further apart in what we cared about. I mean, we were there was a divide, at least socially, somewhat between us, maybe. But I was fascinated with them. So I went over and we all sat around and talked about asphalt. They barbecued together. And how, I mean, we drive on asphalt all the time. I mean, is it not fascinating to talk about asphalt? Well, it was that day. And we all had a great time together. And the person that was with me said, you can talk to anybody. And It's not so much that I can talk to anybody because I'm so clever. It's that when the love of God is touching two different people, regardless of what they're interested in all the rest of the time, there's a bridge. And that bridge brings a joyful communication and a power. Okay, now we're gonna step off into another world here. And there's going to be a little cross-pollination in this. Now we're going to segue a little bit. I want all of you out there who have had the wit to bring a pen and a piece of paper with you to draw three concentric circles, one about as big as a dime, one about as big as a quarter around the first one, and then lastly, one maybe twice that size. This is a diagram of a human being. In the center, we have the spirit man, and Paul speaks about the spirit man. The spirit man is a part of you that is pure, immutable. It is what makes you a son or daughter of God. It is like a molecule of God's own substance. So just like our parents give us a strand of DNA that could go be identified to go back to them. I mean, whether they give us good habits or not, that varies. But they give us a part of themselves that is very basic. God also gives us a part of himself that is eternal, immutable, and pure, no matter how bad we are. Isn't that great? That's pretty handy. Now, I'm only talking to saved Christians. I hold that all people have the spirit man, there is the issue that before you were made alive in Christ, that your possibilities of connecting with it, using it, and of having eternal life are not at hand. So salvation cannot be overlooked safely in this world. I don't care if you are wonderfully aware. I mean, there are people of other religious persuasions who are quite aware of themselves on many different spiritual levels, and they're kind, and they're good, and they're powerful in different ways, but they're not saved, and they don't have the advantage of the full access to the Lord Jesus. So to me, being a Christian is definitely the hot ticket, and I wouldn't want to try to do anything the other way. And I will tell you that having tried to be spiritual when I was younger, without benefit of Jesus, you can get in a lot of trouble. There's some big fish out there in that sea, and they will eat you in a heartbeat. And the Lord Jesus will protect you from those things. All right. So, nextly, the soul. It is a plastic material. It's very much like the old vinyl records that they used to actually put in a liquid form, and then it would set up and be kind of jelly-like, and a stylus would record music and make scratches in it. And so if someone played happy, beautiful music, it would play back happy, beautiful music. If they played horrible, discordant music, it'd play back horrible, discordant music. The soul is very much like a computer, garbage in, garbage out. It's not necessarily good, and it's not necessarily bad. It has some mechanisms in it that are very good. In other words, there's a tendency in the body to heal. You don't have to yell at a broken bone to heal. Once you said it, it knows how to heal. So there's a lot of good things happening in the soul. I would say that in a natural sense, the soul is basically good. Like a little baby doesn't usually do horrible, mean things. But it is possible for us to get crooked in our soul, isn't it? And come up with some very distorted images of mankind. Most humans have some goodness in them. I was always amused. I don't know if I was amused. I was interested that Hitler had a young secretary just before he died. She's 18. He was very kind to her and very fatherly. And he had a dog that he was really nice to. So even this horrible, grotesque, demonically possessed man had some goodness in him. And there was, God is so far-reaching when he makes us that it's hard to stamp out every little scrap of good. And that can be very confusing sometimes, can't it? Because you sort of want to play black hat, white hat. Like you're a bad person and you're a good person. And then good people do bad and bad people do good. So anyway, okay, so let's get back to the spirit man. The spirit man is a portal and a connected place to your father, the big God. And some of the people of the, I don't even know what to call them, sort of new agey guys, they have a saying, you are all gods. Well, you're not God any more than you're a mountain because you have a sand pile, but you but in a certain way, you are a tiny little part of God, and that's a good thing. And God claims you as his own. He claims you as his son, doesn't he? All right. Now, if you get in touch with this part of yourself, you're going to have access, almost like a computer has access to the web, in the sense that there's a lot of information out there. Now, a computer can play games disconnected from the web. You can sit there and it can be trained to play, Canasta or what's it, Candy Crush or some other
yes.
wacko game from that time. I never participated in, thank you, God. But some people do. Anyway, I'm sure those are good games. No offense, everybody. So, but once you get connected to the internet, oh my gosh, you can ask the craziest questions, is titanium weigh more than aluminum? Why would you want to know that? But I did. And, I found out. So I want you guys to realize that the mind of God and his presence and everything that he is accessible to you as you grow in proximity to this spirit man. And Christians, had a process that they called the illumination, which is where the soul took on the light of Christ until it became so much closer to the vibration of the spirit man, which is much higher than the soul. And so the two started to merge together more effortlessly. Remember I told you there's a bridge of love when the Lord shows up? There's a bridge between the soul and the spirit as Jesus inhabits us. And we take on a certain gravity and maturity that there's weight to our words. So like when we speak, things happen. There's an old commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks, he was a financial advisor, everybody listens. And I've known people who've grown in the spirit. When they speak, you feel the authority of God and everybody shuts up and listens. They don't know why they're listening, but by golly, they're going to listen. This could be you. Why is that good? Because we're here as emissaries from the Lord Jesus, not for self, and to be proud of ourselves or any other ridiculous event like that, But to represent him well, the more mature we are and the more fully human we are, as we connect with an illuminated soul and a spirit that we are in touch with. Now, we can improve the spirit. There's no fixing it. It doesn't need to lose weight. It doesn't need exercise. It's fine. I believe that all of me is like that, but actually it turns out that's not true. I tried the no exercise regime for a long time, and it appears that that's not working, so lately I've changed my tune. But the spirit needs nothing from you, except you need to connect to it. And as you connect to the spirit man inside you, which Paul talks about rather extensively, you will connect much better with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they have a life within you, but they have a life outside of you as well. So you get to connect to the larger world of the spirit. Oh, that's fun. That's exciting, isn't it? And a lot of times Nancy and I find out things. You know why? Because we say, is it possible to speak to the four living creatures? Or whatever enters our little soft heads, you know? I invented a whole exercise about connecting with the four living creatures based on the fact that I have some occasionally rather painful therapeutic massage treatments that actually hurt. And I thought, oh, if only I could hold on to the ox, I wouldn't mind the painful part of this. And then I was able to connect with him. So by being childlike, by being humble, by asking questions and letting the light of Christ inhabit your soul, you will merge more perfectly with the part that God wants you to merge with. Because why would he create it and then keep you away from it? Remember when Jesus died and the veil of the temple was torn in half? What the heck was that about? Guess what? That was a picture of you. There was a veil between you and the spirit man, and that veil's torn in half by the evidence and power of Jesus Christ made manifest in glory inside of you. But this is a real process, okay? It's not a pretend process. Somebody asked me the other day, they said, Richard, when I finally realize the truth about something, how come it's not finished in me? I said, well, how many times have you read the Bible? I said, more than 20. I said, yeah. I said, has anyone asked if you were Jesus lately? So we're not really converted into the thing we wish to be merely by reading about it, are we? Or merely by knowing about it?
Or merely by teaching about it.
Or merely by teaching about it. That's right. We don't become something because we talk about it. You know, I don't become an alligator because I know a lot about alligators, you know. I might eat fish, raw fish, but that won't help me, will it, really? Or try to swim in the swamp and scare people, but I don't know if that's going to work. In the same way, you don't become a Christian by talking about it. You become a Christian by becoming like Christ and letting him live in you. So. That's how you get
give me a minute.
A little plan. All right, I want to do an exercise that will help you get your spiritual eyes so you can see the spirit man within you, or we can at least take a try. All right, I want you to close your eyes now and connect with the light as well as you can, which will energize your spiritual sight and just make things easier for you. Now remember, we only worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These are just aspects of God. We're not worshiping the aspect. We want to worship all of him, but we're connecting with it. Okay, so let that energy grow in you. Now just say God. Say it out loud.
God.
Connect me now.
Connect me now.
And let me see.
And let me see.
The Spirit within me.
The Spirit within me.
All right, now for the sake of the tape, I'm going to go much faster, but if you wanted to just turn the tape off and take 20 minutes to do this, you'd be wise. Since I've had a lot of practice at this, I'm going to tell you what I've seen. Basically, the spirit man, as you look at it with your spiritual eyes, is like a circular ball of light that is sort of pearly luminescent in its quality. And if you want to see almost exactly what it looks like, look at a picture of the Crab Nebula.
And the what?
The Crab Nebula. And in the center of that is this luminescent, beautiful, almost like a little balls of light in this cohesive, circular, glowing, pearly luminescence, the best I can do. I'm sure a poet could do better, but that's my best shot. However, but as you see that, you're drawn into it almost like gravity, because it's the heaviest part of you. It's the strongest part of you. And as you're drawn into it, you're drawn into the part of you that is most connected to God, that is the least sinful. And this part can't be ruined, even if you've done many bad things. This part has never been touched. Your soul gets touched. This part does not. Okay. Did you see anything?
Yes.
What'd you see?
It almost looked like a silhouette of a person, but it was totally white and glowing.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a sense, when you contact yourself, of a certain gravity? I use the word heaviness. I don't know exactly what to use, but it's almost like metal has more presence than water. Do you feel the sense of power of this thing?
It did feel, when I was doing that, it almost felt like there was this thick, heavy presence around me.
There you go.
And I was in the middle of it.
There's a way that as I contact the spirit, sometimes I feel like an owl sitting on a perch looking out into the world, cheerfully but dispassionately. And it's funny, but you know a lot. And when people tell lies or say ridiculous things, which is very popular these days, particularly now that we're in an election year, it's funny if it wasn't so sad, but it's funny too, because the lies and foolishness become immediately transparent. In other words, when you're in this state, you will not say stupid stuff like that. I want to give you guys a little clue. In heaven, people don't lie. There's no lying there. There's no making up silly things and pretending they're real. So my proposition is there will be very few politicians in heaven, but that's a joke. I hope they all go to heaven. I want everybody to go to heaven. All right. Now I'm going to ask Nancy to talk a little bit about emotional health. And both of us agree that emotional health makes possible many of the things we're talking about, where if you don't get it, many of these things will not be very good. So Nancy's going to go ahead and speak about that.
Okay. You know, there's all these wonderful things of God that he wants to share with us, that he wants to download into us, that he wants us to interface with and be able to benefit from. But whether or not we're emotionally healthy is a prerequisite for receiving these things and being able to move in them. Why is that? Well, it's because your ability to receive has everything to do with your emotional health. If a person feels that badly about themselves, they have low self-esteem, they can't enjoy themselves or like themselves, there's a way you're walking around in a wounded state all the time. And I don't know if you've ever had a physical wounding that you're thinking about it all the time. It's hard to, you know, even if you have a sore finger and you try to go to sleep at night, it's like all you can think about is your sore finger. And sometimes you have to take a pain pill to sleep because you can't get that pain off your mind. Well, your emotional health, your soul health is very similar to that. And when you're wounded, you find yourself always having to work on how am I going to survive in this wounded state? And of course, what you need in order to be healed is you need to be able to receive in a relationship somebody who loves you unconditionally, who wants to take care of you. But the problem that we find again and again for people who are lacking in emotional health is the part of them, and that's, of course, a little young baby childlike part of us that's able to receive, is broken down. And so now we have a bit of a double mind, because on the one hand, they need to be healed, they need to receive healing, but that part of them is broken. And so there has to be, this logjam has to be broken up, and they have to begin to be able to feel, oh yeah, I actually am somebody who can be loved. I am someone who could be cared about, and therefore I'd be able to receive the light of Christ coming and emanating through me. I'd be able to dwell on what God has for me in my spirit person that he created with this blueprint in heaven. One of the things that I tell many of the people I work with is that a problem that we tend to have is that we don't know how to be present to ourselves, and Richard's going to talk a little more about that. But all of that goes back to that wounded state inside of us. And I think many of us are stuck either living in our emotions all the time or living in our head, and we're not aware of our spirit person. We have a hard time even connecting to our bodies at times. And in order to have the light of Christ pulsating through our cells at that molecular level, you have to at least be aware of your body. Many people are stuck in their heads. Other people are stuck in their emotions. And so, you know, these are all things. There needs to be a synchronization of the different parts of us. There's almost, if you can imagine, getting all of your bones aligned so that the ability for God's spirit to coming through your spirit and then flowing through your soul and your body, that there's no blockages there. And that's why emotional health is so important, because they literally put up dams in the river so that all the good stuff can't get through, and those dams need to be removed. You wanted to say add something else?
I want to talk a little bit about something that interests me and will help you live a life more motivated by the Spirit. You have to be present to yourself, and I'm going to explain what that means, in order to present yourself a living sacrifice. You have to be present to yourself to present yourself. What does that mean? As long as we are living for anything that does not come out of the spontaneous event of being a created being, who then lives to express whatever God created when he created us, plus his presence in our lives, as a spontaneous event. A lot of times when I talk to people, it's almost like they have a choice to be alive. Like, they, you know, you come and say to them, and they'll go, well, I'm alive because I live for other people, or for my grandchildren, or for, you know, whatever. I'm the church cafeteria lady, or whatever their thing is. If you took it away, would they fall over dead? There's a good chance they wouldn't. So every place that we identify ourselves as a drama or some sort of different event, we step away from the spontaneous, joyful expression of a created being, and we step away from the one who created us. Babies have no trouble knowing that they're all one piece, do they? For instance, they're not out of touch with their desires, are they? They want milk. I want milk now. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Get your butt out of bed. Get my milk now. In fact, actually, you're late, because you should have known I was going to want milk a half an hour ago. Why do you sleep when I have needs? So I sometimes talk to adults and they say to me, I don't know what I want. And I say to them, I've never not known what I've wanted. It would be quite an interesting experience for me not to know what I want. But you have to step away from yourself and step out of being a created being. So a better answer is, I'm a created being, so I live. That's all the definition you need. And I don't mind if you have a series of things you would like to do that are good works, but they do not make you alive. God made you alive. Every time you try to make yourself alive by a name or a tag or a title, you step away from the one who created you.
And you step away from his idea of why you're here.
Right. And that idea changes from time to time as we grow. Just like a parent's idea of what good baby care is going to be different from what good teenage care is. If you try to dress the teenager and change their underwear, they're going to be upset with you, where the baby's going to be thrilled. You know, goody-goody-goo. Come on, little teenager, let's go play with your daddy. We're going to play ball in the park. The teenager may not want to do that with you anymore. So as we grow, God's approach to us often changes. So wouldn't it be better for us to stay loose, alive, within the biblical boundaries? I don't mean you don't have any ethics, any define morality, that's fine. But that doesn't make you alive. God made you alive. And God will make let you be alive day to day. We have 24 hours to live. The Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Live in that moment, and Christ will do some phenomenal things. Some of the people I talk to have phenomenal lives. There's one guy I've got, I think they're probably right. If they ever write a new Bible, he's going to be in it. Because he does such interesting things. Truly could come out of Scripture. And he's a kind of a regular guy, and yet God loves him and he loves God. He lives in that moment. So anyway, be blessed. And Nancy, you have anything else you'd like to say?
No, but I'd like you to just pray almost a, let's pray for heavenly resources for the people taking this class to help to do the things in this class and to really lay hold of it for their lives and be impacted by it.
All right. Well, Lord Jesus, we just ask for grace and blessing. And Lord, I realize that this class is going to whet a lot of appetites. Not necessarily create what we're talking about. Some of this is the work of a lifetime, but you have to begin somewhere. So start, and you might be surprised at how well you do. So Lord Jesus, I ask for blessing and resources and the energy of God. And of those of you who really take off with this, we'll help you. You know, you can appeal to us, and there could be another class, or you could have a private appointment.
Or we could have a weekend seminar.
At Nancy's house. Not at my house. Because I don't like
Thank you, Richard.